Jesus calls the first disciples. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him.
I bet most of y'all would say, just go sit down, and you would be mighty happy. And figures you would clap on the back, yes. I'm Ed Glaze, and I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm so honored and privileged to be here before you with these outstanding young people, their mentors, their prayer partners, Laura Pageant, who has led this journey with them. I want to thank Laura especially for taking on this wonderful program, putting your own stamp of approval, and making it something truly special for not only these confirmands, but the parents, and each and every one of us. The last time we met was a healing service when we were all together, and I believe when we all gather together, it's healing. Because we come from different backgrounds, we come from different worship experiences, we have different ideas about all sorts of things, but we're here together, sitting in the same pews, being with each other, realizing that's God's love. What these young people are experiencing is greater than anything that would divide us or that causes differences. So I'm glad we're together. I'm glad we have these opportunities to worship with one another. What is the greatest decision, the most important decision you're ever going to make in your life? Think about that. Confirmands, seniors, y'all that are sitting in the pews, what's the most important decision you're going to make in your life or have made in your life? There's a movie that came out several years ago where this young man was being recruited to play basketball at all the major universities in the country. In that movie, they would have coaches come and talk to this young man. And some of those coaches, well, they're pretty popular here in this state that loves basketball so much. And at the end of every one of the spiels, they would say to this young man who is an outstanding basketball talent, "This is the most important decision you're going to make in your life." Yes, going to college is an important decision. Where you go to college is an important decision. You'll have your mind expanded. You'll be there with professors and teachers that will help you see things in a new light. Who knows, you might even, like some of us, be blessed to meet the person that you'll stay with for, well, hopefully the rest of your life. She's put up with me for 39 years. Yeah, that's an important decision. Maybe you decided not to go to college is a decision that you make. It's an important decision. Some people who don't go to college, well, they achieve far more than we could ever dream. I know the person who runs all the coordination for FEMA trailers throughout the United States. As soon as high school's over, he was done with school. He's very successful. Going to college, what college? Is that the most important decision? How you make a living? We live in a day and time, young people, that for most of us, we get to kind of choose what we want to do. And I hope that whatever you choose, seniors or confirmands as you get older, it's something that you enjoy and that you feel like you're making a contribution to society. It's not about the money. I know plenty of people who make plenty of money and are completely miserable, wishing they could do something else, but they feel trapped by their income. Yeah, what you do for a living, going to school, maybe going in the military, all these are important decisions. Who you marry, oh yeah, that's very important. As I said just a moment ago, I've had 39 years with a wonderful woman who loves the Lord and who has put up with a lot of stuff from this Methodist preacher, amen, hun. But I'm grateful. It makes a big difference who we marry. But the most important decision is a decision that you hear about in the scripture text that Anna Brooks read so beautifully for us just a moment ago. Here's Jesus coming up to Peter and Andrew. In Mark's telling the story, it's the first time that Jesus ever met them, and he says, come follow me. And then same with James and John. And I love the way Mark puts it. Immediately, they dropped everything and began to follow Jesus. Everything. And began to follow Jesus. And it changed everything for them. As it says in Paul's writings, they began to see everything from an eternal perspective. Or I like the way C.S. Lewis puts it. I believe in the sun not because I can see it, but by it I can see everything else. By the vision that God gave these disciples that following Jesus brought to them, they could see everything in the light of Jesus' love. Everything in the light of Jesus' love. And so it was no longer about making a living by catching fish. They saw that life was more than about what you make and what you achieve. It was about helping people discover the love of Jesus. And it changed their perspective on how they saw folks. No longer was someone a Roman or a Gentile or a Jew or someone that was rich or poor. They saw every person in light of God's love and God's potential. And they no longer fished for people. They were out to make a difference in the lives of the people around them in the name of Jesus. They could see everybody in the light of Jesus' love. And they saw that catching people was about sharing Jesus with others. They also had a change of perspective about themselves. And you heard these beautiful testimonies that our young people today are facing pressures like most of us that are a few years older can't even comprehend. And these disciples, and it took a while, particularly for someone like Peter, were given the impetus and the great encouragement and the knowledge that these fishermen, these laborers, these folks that the Romans said are nobody could change the world, and they did. And young people, hear this. Jesus says to you that you're beautiful, that you're talented, that you have been given this awesome inheritance of life that's abundant and eternal, and that you can make a difference in this world, in the lives of other people, in the name of Jesus. You can. That's what Jesus is saying to those fishermen 2,000 years ago. That's what he's saying to you, confirmands, as you say yes to him, that your life has meaning and purpose, something greater than you can ever realize right now. I tell this story every year at confirmation. It's a good story. But when I was rereading it from my preaching instructor, Fred Craddock, I realized in the last 3 years I've left out a kind of important detail. Maybe some of you all who have remembered the story can catch what I've left out. My preaching professor, Fred Craddock, was traveling one day with his family going through the great state of Tennessee. And there he stopped at a restaurant with his family as they're traveling to another location. And it was one of these family restaurants. It's one of these local establishments. And they sat there as a family, gathered together there, eating dinner. And in that restaurant, this gentleman was going from table to table, saying hi to everybody, greeting folks, carrying on conversations. And Craddock muttered under his breath, I sure hope he doesn't come to my table. Well, naturally, he did. And he began to have conversation, asked what they were doing. He said, we're traveling through. And the guy asked Fred, well, what do you do for a living? And Craddock, trying to be highfalutin in the way he expressed it, he said, I'm a homiletics professor, which meant that he's a preacher teacher. And this gentleman said, oh, preacher teacher, huh? Let me tell you a story. So he got a chair and pulled it up there at the table. And he said this. He said, there was a young man who was born out of wedlock in a time where kids that did not have a father were looked down upon. This young man who had a loving mother did everything that she could for him, felt ostracized, that people didn't like him because he did not know who his father was. His friends in school picked on him. He was bullied. People would make jokes at him, say, you don't know who your daddy is, do you? Who's your pa? Who's your father? And as he grew older, he became more and more discouraged. He wondered, was there any future for him? Did anyone love him? Did anyone really care about him? Oh, his mama did her best, but she was so busy making a living for them both. Well, about this time, as he's getting about the age of these confirmands, he heard about a new Methodist preacher that came to the church in that little small town. And he began to hear stories about this preacher who preached the love of God and who was a good man and helped everyone experience how much God cared for them. So one Sunday, he snuck off without his mama and went to this little church and sat near the back. And he was amazed and spellbound by what he had heard. And so he came back week after week after week, leaving before the end of the service, after the sermon was done, so that no one would talk to him, no one would catch him. But one Sunday, he got detained by one of the members there talking to him, and he couldn't get out before the preacher got to the back door. And as the boy came out, the preacher grabbed him and said, "Boy, who's your pa?" And the young man thought to himself, "Oh my goodness, even here they're judging me that I don't have a dad, that I don't know who my father is." And as he sank in the thoughts, the preacher bent down, looked into his eye, and held his chin up. "Oh, boy, I know who your father is. You're a child of God. I see the family resemblance." And then, patting the boy on the back, he said, "Go out and claim your inheritance." Dr. Craddock sat at the table mesmerized because he was a storyteller himself. And the man said, "It's quite a story, isn't it?" Fred said, "Yeah." And as the man got up, "Oh, yeah, I know it's quite a story." Because the man said, "That boy is me." As he walked off, Fred grabbed the waitress and said, "Hey, who is that fella?" "Oh, him, hon? You don't know him? That's Ben Hooper, the former governor of Tennessee." Friends, young people, you may not grow up to be the governor of North Carolina, Tennessee, or the great state of Alabama, though they need your help, trust me. But you have something even greater, an inheritance, as John says, that makes you heirs of Jesus Christ, sons and daughters of God Most High. And though your name may not ever be known by anyone beyond your family or people in your community, because of what you're doing today, you have a great inheritance that's abundant, filled with joy and love right now, and eternal in heaven. And my friends, that makes all the difference in the world. That changes everything. May you, young people, go out and claim your inheritance, making a difference in the world. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, and amen.